Hello and welcome to our Shine Together podcast. I'm Leanne Bonner Cook, the co-founder of Shine Together CIC, and I will also let us introduce our special guest today, who is Jackie Wood. And with me, chatting to Jackie on the sofa today, is Sandra Pollock, my co-founder. So, Sandra, would you like to introduce yourself, and then we'll swiftly move on to all that great content we're going to discuss with Jackie.
Hello and welcome. Sandra Pollock, as Leanne has said, co-founder Shine Together. And I'm so excited about this conversation today. And I know that you, as you listen, will find lots of information and resonance. That's the word I'm looking for in terms of our conversation. So, Jackie, it's great to have you here. Back to you, Leanne.
So thank you, Jackie. So Jackie is a menopause expert. And so Jackie, introduce yourself and tell our listeners all about yourself.
First of all, I have to declare that I'm not a menopause expert, but I am licensed with the Menopause Experts Group. So that means they train me, and I'm a licensee, which means I can talk about it to my heart's content to anybody that will listen. But yeah, what's got me to this part of my life, really, in doing what I do, is because my own experience was awful. And I appreciate that I'm in the smaller percentage of women that have just a dreadful time. But it's been my biggest gift because I made all the mistakes that you're not supposed to make. And it taught me a very hard lesson in what not to do. And then I learned and learned and learned for many years now what to do. And so it gives me absolute pleasure to help anybody that needs knowledge, needs help, that's curious about how they can support themselves and, other people that they know by doing the right things in any way possible to help through this change of circumstances, change of life, as it were.
Oh, and that's amazing, Jackie. And I'm sure we're going to resonate with our listeners. Even they've either been through it, going through it, or are going to be at some point in time. So, and I just really want to start because, myself, I've had a torrid time as well, going through the menopause. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer and then had to take tamoxifen. And so as a result, you can't take any HRT supplements, et cetera. And the common theme these days seems to be, oh, well, it's fine, just go and get some HRT. So I'm so interested to learn about your views on that, really.
HRT is a huge subject, and I have to say that the research in this area is exploding, thankfully. We have to look at a lot of angles to HRT because in other cultures they have a different approach to it. They can often prescribe different types of HRT as well. But the most important thing is that the treatment approach from the clinician or the healthcare practitioner make sure that the patient is individually consulted about their experience. So for you, Leanne, obviously you've got a very important history and your health is vitally important, not only today, but going forward. So you will have a team that you've worked with and they will be wanting you to have a future with good health and quality health. The problem with HRT in terms of breast cancer that's current or that you're still taking the treatment for is, yes, there are some contraindications. And yes, the effects of tamoxifen can go against HRT. But it doesn't deny the fact that you're still getting symptoms. And often, when you are post any kind of cancer, it can drive the symptoms of menopause up to a greater height. So the importance of this consultation between you and an expert in HRT, in menopause, and somebody that has a broad knowledge of the health of people that have experienced cancer is vitally important because it's not actually a no. And this is some of the latest research that's been coming out in the UK and also in Australia and the US. It's not a no, or it certainly might be, perhaps not now, but certainly we need to look at something in the future because of your quality of health and the quality of life going forward. So, of course, there are other ways to introduce good lifestyle habits to help and support whatever it is you're going through. And it's really important that you speak to somebody that understands that, because they can ask you the right questions, they can get the correct information from you and tease out of you what is bothering you the most, what needs to be put in place to help you the most. So the conversation needs to be around HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and around all the other factors that influence your life and your health. So it's a long conversation, and it must be done by an expert and somebody that's got a special interest in or that specializes in menopause. And that also will work with your team as well, and potentially your oncology consults, because that's important.
That's really interesting. So thank you for that, Jackie. And my next question really is, where do you even find these experts? Because they're generally not in your GP surgery, are they?
Interestingly, there might be. So, my own GP surgery, for instance, where I live, there is one of the doctors there that's elected to take the training. Now, I think we're all pretty much knowledgeable about what sort of training doctors have, GPs, for instance. And it's not very much within all their years of training. It's not much at all. And that's a shame. But I think the importance of increasing that amount of training has come to the fore. And that is changing. So going forward, they are going to be getting more training within their practices. But when they become a practitioner, they can elect to take up further training. But of course, we all know that GPs are run off their feet and they've got no time, and they really are under a lot of pressure. But a lot of, and dare I say it, some of the younger ones, so I've read, are much more interested in being able to give a more rounded consultation to women who come in with symptoms that don't necessarily straight away indicate perimenopause or menopause, but they're looking for the signs and they understand the signs, so they know what questions to ask. I mean, it's been so common in the past for women to go into the GP surgery and to go in with symptoms of anxiety, lack of sleep, etc., etc. And I think we know that they've often been prescribed antidepressants, which isn't now the first line, but that is still happening much too often. But if they would just know to ask how is the patient's periods, that would often give them a much better indication about what's going on. And then, of course, there's, as I mentioned, the deeper conversation about the health history, the family history, etc., etc.
Really
So, yeah, the additional training is often elective. So that can happen with a GP, it can happen with nurse practitioners, and some menopause experts are actually going into GP surgeries and doing the training now. So it's becoming a much more acceptable part of, I think, a doctor's work to be perhaps adding on that training if they've got time and if they want to, because really it's quite specialist knowledge to have, and very, very important for women in this day and age to know that they can go to somebody and that they're getting the right advice and support.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Jackie, when you first started, you said a word. You said that you made mistakes, and obviously what you do now is try to help other people not to make those mistakes. I was intrigued about menopause is a natural process of the female body growth and journey through this life. What would be a mistake, or what did you see in your journey as mistakes through this process?
So my perimenopause started 27 years ago, and it went on for about 10 or 11 years before I hit my menopause day. The menopause day being 12 months clear of periods if you're over 50, 2 years if you're under 50. And I was pretty much in denial, really. I thought I was too young, I was 43. I thought I was too young to start going through that. And even though the signs were all there, I was getting night sweats terribly. I was getting very, very anxious. But at the same time, I was experiencing a life event that affected my feelings of safety. And because of that, I kind of put the feelings or the wondering about perimenopause to one side, and I thought, oh, it's because of all this going on. I was personally under threat and my family, etc., etc. But then, as the months and the years went on, my symptoms grew. But because I wasn't aware of how perimenopause can affect women at that time, because I was 43, I thought I was too young. Because in my head, way back then, it happened to older women, you know, and not to somebody. I was active, I was vibrant, I was on the ball and enjoying life, apart from this life event. And I then, I didn't have the knowledge to put two and two together, if you know what I mean. And if I had, I would have seen how much harm I was doing to myself. So at the time I was teaching aerobics classes. I was having a ball. But as soon as this stuff started to happen, I started to feel quite sorry for myself. And my general positive outlook started to become more negative overall. This happened over a number of years. But again, because I didn't see the signs and I didn't put two and two together, I didn't really do anything to help myself. When we are aware of perimenopause approaching, and actually even before that, because I would encourage anybody at any age to start taking care of themselves, but particularly when they reach their 30s, late 30s, those changes inside our body have already started to happen. We might not be aware of it, we might not see it even, but they have started to happen. Now, that can ramp up and accelerate at any point. Three in a thousand women reach actual menopause before the age of 40. Now, normally, if we look at somebody at that age, we wouldn't expect to be thinking of menopause, but three in a thousand can experience that. So that's quite common, really. So when I started to get these symptoms at 43, it's quite possible the changes in my body had started to happen in my early 30s and more likely had been. So it's important to be aware that because we know these changes can be happening, we need to be starting to think about how well we're looking after ourselves. So we all know about the, you know, the usual lifestyle factors. So managing our sleep, managing stress, what we're eating, our alcohol intake, our movement, you know, and our general interaction with people. You know, are we around people that, excuse me, are not good for us in our energy? But if we ignore that and put ourselves at the bottom of our to-do list, which women are very likely to do most of the time, we're really not doing ourselves any favors, but we're not doing any favors for the people in our lives either. Because, as you say, Sandra, it's a very natural transition for a woman to go through menopause. It's unavoidable, actually. And it can happen at any age. So through surgery, for instance, or medication, it can bring that on in an unnatural way. But definitely every woman on the earth is going to reach that time in her life, whether she notices experiencing it or not. Because around about 75% of women experience symptoms in some way. The other 25% kind of sail through it. They're like, oh, what's all the fuss about? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. But 75% experience symptoms, and they gradually, as the percentage gets less, they gradually can get worse and worse, down to a percentage of people that have the most awful time and reach a point in their lives when they don't actually want to be here anymore. And that's, I'm sorry to say, where I was, but it taught me the most. As I said, it was the biggest gift. So once we're aware that these changes are possibly happening in us, whether we can sense them or not, I feel it should make us more conscious of our bodies and really look to our feelings and our thoughts. You know, have there been any changes? Do we sense something different? Are we feeling just off? Are we feeling less positive than we were, less optimistic than we were? Are life events affecting us more? Does that mean that our resilience is lessening? These are tiny little things that sometimes just being tired, we put it down to. Or sometimes if, partner indoors has upset us, we might put it down to that. If the kids are acting up, if we've got parents that are perhaps more demanding of us, all these things happen. Comes along like buses sometimes, we're hit perimenopause and there's all this other stuff going on. So we can be in that time of life when things are layering on us, even more reason to really take care. So the mistakes I made were to completely ignore the signs over the years, to be in denial mentally, which meant was I resisted this most natural time in life. And so the resistance in me caused my nervous system to be triggered a lot more of the time than it might have been. I ha had been teaching exercise classes. I then, a few years later, stopped teaching. I became lethargic. I was with a partner that was unsupportive. My diet went really bad. I was drinking too much alcohol. My movement was getting less and less and less. So I was completely flipping myself to what the person that I had been. But then, of course, after that, I flipped all the way back again, and that's when the happier years began. Sorry for my long answers to your short questions.
No, it's very, very interesting, very very informative actually, more than that. And you began to get into what's perimenopause. I'll be honest, I'd never heard of this word till a few years ago. It was just menopause, and all of a sudden you've got perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. So how would somebody know that they're going through perimenopause? And I know that's probably a difficult question because there may be all sorts of symptoms, but yeah, from your experience.
They used to say there were 34 symptoms of menopause, but that's crazy now because we've learned that menopause can affect us in many, many more ways. So when I say menopause, I mean the whole transition from perimenopause till we curl our toes up, actually. So perimenopause, as I said, can start, in our 30s, and it is when our three probably most operating hormones during that time. They have been called the sex hormones, they're the reproductive hormones, but they are much more than that. So we're talking about estradiol, which is a form of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So these three hormones, I mean, we've got lots of hormones going on in our body, but these three main hormones are most active when perimenopause comes. So what that means is that they start to fluctuate. So before perimenopause begins, we have our periods, we're cyclical, and our estrogen and progesterone and testosterone run along quite smoothly, doing what they're supposed to do. And it results in a period if we don't get pregnant, and if we do get pregnant, then it results in a pregnancy, and again our hormones slipping beautifully, doing what they have to do. But when perimenopause begins, it means that the ovaries and the brain have a different conversation with each other. The first thing that can start to happen is that progesterone starts to decrease, and what that can mean is that because progesterone is a relaxing hormone, it's a very nurturing hormone, softening, if you will. And when that starts to decrease, we can start to feel perhaps more anxious than normal. Excuse me. So it could be that, as I mentioned before, our resilience depletes. Or we might be quicker to temper. We might be quicker to mood changes. But then also, our decline in estrogen can cause that as well. And if we have a decline in estrogen, it may mean that our testosterone goes up, which again has an effect on us that can cause our moods to perhaps become more extreme in some way. But please know that these three hormones, they can work beautifully in conjunction with each other. And when there's even a slight change, it can change our whole being. But that will also depend on how we're living, how our life is, how our environment is, how our social life is, our working life. Everything gets affected by the hormones jumping about and doing their thing. So perimenopause is described as a time when our hormones are fluctuating, even a little. But then, if perimenopause continues towards the menopause day, they can fluctuate a lot. So people say to me, is there such a thing as andropause? And andropause for men, there is such a thing, I suppose, really. It's a moot point, to be honest. But their hormones sort of decrease nice and gradually in a wave. But for us, we're up and down, we're up and down. And before we know it, we feel out of control of everything. And that's often the way that feels. And so perimenopause is the time, which can be anything from, they say, an average of 3 to 7 years. Well, mine went on for 10 to 11 years. And some people can start feeling the symptoms of perimenopause and then it's all over in a few months. So it's very, when we talk about average, it's very, it's an argued point, really. So the ovaries in particular will start to produce estradiol in less capacity, which means the brain starts to light up and it produces more follicle stimulating hormone. It's trying to get the ovaries to produce more estrogen. And of course, when the ovaries become less active and less efficient, they can't keep doing that. But unfortunately, this has all those perimenopause pause effects. And it's what also encourages our periods to become more erratic, perhaps further apart, perhaps lighter, perhaps heavier. We can go for great long periods of time without a period. And then in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, we can get a period. We might get flooding. And flooding is, it's disastrous for people. It really is. And there's no warning. So I don't know about you. When I got flooding, it didn't come with a period pain, which I always used to get. And I knew when I was bleeding, but with flooding, I never got any warning. But so
I was the
perimenopause.
same as that, Jackie, and you can't even like you can't explain it, can you? Because literally, it's like you stand up or you sat down and a tap just suddenly turned on, and then it's the embarrassment then as well, isn't it? So, and I'd like to come on to some of these bits as well. It's like that the whole, as a female, you feel embarrassed, you're at work, and all of these symptoms that you're describing, we have to try and function in our day-to-day lives at the same time, and it's not always easy to do that.
No, not at all. And again, it's different for every woman. Every woman's menopause journey is unique, as we know. And every woman who is in work, she wants to be in work. She wants to go. She wants to do an efficient job. And at the average age, again, as I say, 45 to 55, she can often be in a responsible position. So she may have a team that she's running. She may have people that she's got to report to, and she wants to be on the ball. And unfortunately, perimenopause can cause a sleeplessness and other uncomfortable situations, which may either make her tired during work and give her that brain fog. It can take her focus off what she's doing. If she starts, for instance, to get hot, it can start you feeling almost panicky. I know it did for me. I got into dreadful panic. And I couldn't think about anything but that, and I just wanted to run. Of course, at work we don't feel we can do that. I don't know what you girls think, but if ever I had to walk out of a meeting or walk out of somewhere where people were expecting me to listen or take notes or be there, I would feel just so ashamed, and I'd feel really like, oh my God, what are they going to think about me? So this is why we need to support women in the workplace, to help them to be open and not to feel inadequate, not to feel inefficient, and just to help them to realize it's a very, very natural process and it is temporary. Because two things, we go through this phase, no matter how long it takes, we go through it. And there's always help for whatever phase we're at, there's always help. And however bad it gets, But also, as humans, we adapt. And so, you know, the longer your, I don't know, your anxiety feelings go on, you will adapt to that more and more. And
Doesn't
so,
feel like it, unfortunately, at the time, and that's the big issue, isn't it?
yes, absolutely. It is the issue. And those issues should be addressed quickly, Sandra. Because, you know, as women, we're like, oh, you know, we'll get on with it and it'll be okay and it'll pass. And who can I talk to? Who's going to understand anyway? And this is where we need to have this knowledge and shared knowledge. But as the quicker we can address these situations and these issues, the much, much better it's going to be.
So, Jackie, we talked about that, you know, that support and where you go and signposting for that support. So, I mean, again, it's going to be interesting to you, but from my experience, say I had the cancer, I took tamoxifen, and then I had a hysterectomy a year later. And literally, I went to see the clinician, and he said to me, "You're asking me to treat you with my hands tied behind my back. There's nothing we can do for you." So then I have lived with those horrific symptoms of the menopause ever since, thinking, well, there's nothing that can be done for me. But equally, I have friends that are my age going through the menopause as well, and they visit the doctor, and it's all, well, here's a HRT patch. But like you said, you know, we're all different and we're all very individual. So if the three of us ended up at the doctor's tomorrow and we went to different doctors in different parts of the UK, and we're all prescribed this menopause patch, maybe different strengths. But is that the right answer, even?
No. Yes and no. As I said, a very, very complex subject. And first off, I want to say, Leanne, you know, I don't know if during this, but after this, I want to recommend somebody for you to speak to because it's not a no, especially if you have had a hysterectomy. So I would love a longer conversation with you about that.
Perfect.
It's not a no. Although I do want to bring in the fact that, you know, a lot of doctors do say, you know, well, you know, you're through the cancer and you should be grateful and blah, blah, blah. But as you say, you're still having those horrendous symptoms. Yes, you do need further help. So yeah, let's have a conversation about that. But HRT, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a magic pill. It's support. What it is doing is giving our hormones back to us. But it has to be in the right dose and in the right delivery system as well, because we're all different. Our skin's different. You know, we sweat differently. If you're wearing patches, that could have something to do with it. A lot of women can't take the plaster material next to their skin, so they have to find another delivery system. So we've got patches, gels, sprays, implants. People generally are against providing prescribing tablets these days, but it's only because there's a very, very, very slim and tiny chance of clot. But that doesn't apply to everybody either, because again, it's a consultation that needs to be had. But the other transdermal methods are great anyway, because they're going straight into the bloodstream. They don't have to be metabolized, so it's a quicker delivery system. But if you go to your menopause specialist or your doctor who has a special interest in menopause, they will generally start you on the lowest dose, and they will monitor you. And obviously, this is from a really good consultation to find out everything about you. So they'll start you on the lowest dose, they'll start you on a delivery system, and they'll give it a whirl, and 3 months later, they'll get you back. What they'll ask you at the time you go for your first consult is, so what are all the symptoms that you're having? And they'll make a note of all that. But what I would suggest to anybody going to see a practitioner for the first time is to do their own symptom tracking for at least a month. And also diet and drinking as well, because that can have an effect on our body and how our hormones act up. So go armed with as much information as possible, because sometimes you can get into the surgery and you just forget what you're going to say, you know. And obviously, if you need to, take somebody with you as well, because that can be really helpful. So in 3 months, they will review you, or they should do. Unless you feel changes before that that you're not happy with, and you straight and tell them, you know, and let them know. But 3 months normally is the first review, and then they'll go through that symptom list and compare from then to now, see how you're getting on. And if it appears that you're doing well, then they'll carry on. But if it appears it needs to be adjusted or the delivery system needs to be changed, then that would be definitely the next step.
I was fortunate, I guess, to say that, well, listening to what you said, maybe I wasn't that early in having to go on to HRT. I was fortunate that in that I could use HRT, and I must say that it made the world a difference to me, because like every other woman, I still wanted to operate, to be good at my job, to be good in the home situation, and all the community work that I did. And I could not afford not to be at my best. And I must say, I used HRT for quite a long time. Obviously, it worked for me. But then what happened was I wrote down the term that you use, life incident, which in my case, my mother passed away. She lived in a different country, and I was back and forth, the stress of obviously her passing, having to sort out her estate and that sort of stuff. And I think I must have forgot to take it for a period of time, and I ended up coming straight off it, and I've not actually. People say, "Oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that." But with all of the stuff that was going on, it was just one of those things that was just completely missed. And so it's been quite a while now that I've been off it. I still get the occasion. I still get brain fog, which is totally frustrating. But just to share my story, and that people, each individual is absolutely different. Sometimes I think when I have really, bad brain fog, can I go on it again? They would probably say no, but I don't know. I mean, is that a thought?
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
absolutely I could, or absolutely,
Can, yeah.
really.
How long since you went off it, Sandra?
Well, my mother passed 9 years ago, so it's probably, I think I have in my head, oh, it's far too long and far too late now, but I have no idea.
Yeah, no, you absolutely can go back on it, given that when you have the consultation, everything is good. So, they will give you some tests quite probably because they will want to make sure your health is okay now. Absolutely overarching, overall, HRT benefits far, far outweigh the risks, far more than ever thought before. And so this is absolutely something to look at because it's not just for symptoms, it's future health. So it can protect our bones against osteopenia, osteoporosis. It can protect our organs, protect our heart, protect our brain, protects everything. We've got something like 40 trillion cells in our body, and every single one of them has a receptor for estrogen. And so that's how we can be affected. Obviously, they're not all affected, but they can affect us in so many different ways, which is why it was crazy to say there are 34 symptoms in the menopause. Those symptoms can turn up anywhere, at any time. But it's never to be, for me, with all the research I've done, and God, I listen to endless podcasts about it, never deny the fact that you might absolutely be able to go back onto it. So I would have that conversation. And somebody said before about not being able to find a specialist because doctors don't always know. The BMS.org is the British Menopause Society, and they have a link on there where you can find a specialist in your area, both private and NHS.
That's very helpful.
Interesting. And then exactly the last question for me, I suppose, is how long does it last? So we talked about perimenopausal, and we were saying, your own experience, 10 to 11 years, some people 3 to 7. And then we go through that and we hit that menopause and we think, yes, we've done it and we're still in it. And how long does it go on for?
Well, actually, once you've gone past that menopause day, postmenopausal, unfortunately, you're going menopausal because menopause means that your periods have ended, if you will. Your menarche has paused. And so you're never going to have those hormones back that you had before. unless you take HRT, then you will get them in that form.
Therefore,
So
your symptoms would just last
they'll
forever then, in theory.
no, not usually. Very, very unlikely that your symptoms will be the same. So once you reach your menopause day and postmenopause, generally for most of us, the symptoms do start to settle down because everything's balancing again. The erratic nature of the hormones has come to a quieter, more smooth, more balanced situation. And so we're not going to be getting those symptoms. Some can last on through menopause and beyond. But again, that depends on how well you treat yourself. In fact, how well you care for yourself during perimenopause will influence the rest of your life. So it's the time, if you haven't, start taking really good care of yourself. Be warned.
Which is really interesting because I suppose most people don't even think about it until they're already in it and they've got those symptoms, and then it's too late, isn't it, really? So I think, from what I'm taking from this is the minute you notice something is not quite in the norm for you and it's out of kilter for you, start paying attention to it.
Absolutely. Start doing research, start digging, start talking, just get as much information as you can. And get onto the forums, get onto the groups, and just suck up all that information. Because knowledge is power, but it's only power if you can empower yourself to actually use it. And once you do, you just feel stronger, you feel better. It took me years to discover that. And I'm so glad that I did. I'm here to tell the tale.
So the other question then is, how long can you take HRT for? Because I remember probably years old, it's probably old news now, but that you could only stay on it for a certain amount of time, and there were risks, to, breast cancer and all sorts of other things. So one of the things I think I picked up from what you were saying is that obviously there's been a lot more research and development and that sort of stuff. So, how long can you stay on HRT?
So short answer, forever.
Ah.
The longer answer to that, because I've always got a longer answer. So the WHI study back in 2002, which was ended before it finished due to a press release saying that HRT gives you breast cancer. That WHI study halted 50% of the world's female population from them taking HRT, which had been going along quite nicely for probably 30 years, maybe longer actually in some cases. And they have been rewriting and re-examining that study ever since. And not only the WHI, the Women's Health Initiative, but hundreds of other people in research have written papers and basically denied the findings of that study. So back in the day, they said it can give you breast cancer, it's not good for your heart, you've got to go off it after 5 years, or you've got more chance of cancer. None of that is true. Because the study itself, the cohort were women, they were volunteers mainly. They were women who were mainly over 60. Many of them were obese, they were very overweight, they were smokers, they already had heart problems. And their health history was not good in a lot of cases. So they're not great candidates for starting HRT to see how it can improve their health. The other thing was that they used an HRT that was called Premarin, which was derived from the urine of pregnant mares. And they don't do that anymore. That's not in use anymore. And they also used, for the progesterone element, they used progestogens, which are natural as well. Nowadays, body identical HRT is naturally sourced. And so it's a very, very different product. It's much safer, and the body recognizes it as natural. So its uptake is much better. But the findings of that study were completely misrepresented and completely blown out of proportion. HRT does not cause breast cancer. It is also said to be good for your heart, good for your brain, good for your bones and good for so many other things as well. I really do sing its praises. But there's always other lifestyle, other health factors to consider. And so if somebody is already quite poorly for one reason or another, then HRT might not have the desired effects, and it might not be a good road to go down. That's for an HRT specialist or a menopause specialist to decide, a prescribing person to find out. But these days, you don't ever have to stop your HRT. You can carry on, because why would you suddenly stop the hormones that, are natural to you? And it sounds like you had a great result, Sandra, for those years. You probably want to get that back again, but it is about future health as well. And given the right circumstances, you could go back on it, and then that resumption in being good for your health can just carry on.
That's great. Now, I know we sort of talked a lot about HRT, because that's what doctors tend to recommend. In your experience, have you come across any other options that women could use?
They do sometimes prescribe SSRIs, which I can't actually think what that stands for right now, having a little bit of brain fog. But these are something that can be prescribed for hot flushes. I don't know why these are prescribed as opposed to giving lifestyle advice or as opposed to HRT, but there will more than likely be medical reasons for that, and I'm not qualified to say. But in general, people will be advised to improve their lifestyle habits, because a lot of people go on supplements. There's not much research into supplements. Obviously, there's not a lot of money to be made in supplements, so there's not a lot of money spent on that research. But there's anecdotal evidence to say, for instance, that sage is very good for hot flushes, and people will try out different supplements and feel great on them. But it's anecdotal, really. And what works for one may not necessarily work for another either. But if you speak, for instance, to a dietitian or a nutritionist, they will tell you absolutely that what you eat is going to affect how your hormones play in your body and how you feel and how you think and how you act. And I really would stress that looking at diet is probably one of the first things to do in conjunction with seeing your healthcare practitioner about HRT, but it's something to start straight away. Because as we age, and we are aging, so our body is under more pressure than it used to be. Our body is not as resilient or as strong as it used to be. So that very, very gradual aging process means that we have to look after ourselves more. So we might not be able to, I don't know, have a meal with ultra processed foods 2, 3, 4, 5 nights on the run. We're going to feel that by the end of the week. So we've got to really look at how much toxic stuff that we're putting into our bloodstream through food. And as an aside to that, we can also look at what we're using at home, our cleaning products. Have we got fragranced sprays in the home to make it smell nice? What materials are we wearing? What are we sleeping in? Everything these days has got something toxic in it. I don't want to say everything. Most things these days are produced with some form of toxin in, including a lot of our food. We can't get away from that. So again, it's another bit of your life where you can get some knowledge and, take an interest in yourself, put yourself forward as the best project under the sun, and if you do that, you look after yourself, then you can look after other people around you. You can take care of your colleagues and your family and your children and whatnot. But if you go to a practitioner of some description, like, as I mentioned, a nutritionist or a medicinal herbalist, they will all have their own specialty. and they've all got a place for you. It's up to us to find what is going to suit us. You know, is it going to be CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy? Is it going to be learning how to do yoga to, you know, really relax our body down and help our well-being overall? Because it's our overall well-being that's going to dictate how much quality our life has going forward.
That's powerful.
Amazing, Jackie. I mean, we're coming up, so we're gonna have to like call it a close. But I mean, I could sit here and chat about it all day. It's such an in-depth topic with so many different angles to it, isn't there? But and I'm pleased that you're there to inform and educate the communities that you do. So thank you for that. And I think just to top it off there, I think the learnings and the lessons that I'm taking is that HRT is available probably to most people, but it's make sure you find the right practitioner with the right advice. And most importantly, it's about looking after ourselves in terms of our own well-being, diet, and what we consume, and just be doing that mindfully, really. So I'd really like to thank you, Jackie, for joining us today. One tip that you can just give to our listeners today, what would it
Oh, yeah, put yourself first. End
be?
of.
Excellent. Excellent one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jackie. You are a wealth of knowledge on
Oh.
this topic. It's amazing. And I think I am taking away, make yourself your best project. Yeah, that really
You
spoke to me.
support whoever said that.
Thank you so much. It's been
Thank you
amazing.
very much. And once again, Jackie Wood, if you want to look her up on LinkedIn, I'm sure you'll find her. But thank you very much, Jackie. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, ladies. It's been lovely talking to you.